I'm going to go ahead and call upon our guest speaker, who you want a long introduction or short?
Short is fine.
Rabbi Prudencio was going to be introduced by our rabbi, but all I can tell you is that I've had the fortune of knowing Rabbi Prudencio since he was a very close friend of my son as a young boy, and I've seen him grow up and Baruch Hashem become one of the outstanding rabbonim in the States, and especially in Teaneck. He's very, everyone is familiar with him, and I enjoy going there for Shabbat just to listen to his drushes. And it's without much further ado that I give you the pleasure of listening to Rabbi Prudencio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's true, Dr. Kranzler and I know him. I'm a young man, but I know him almost over 50 years now. That's how long it is. But it's a pleasure to be here. Rishus Lamar Dasra, my dear colleague, Rabbi Yazger, and especially my members who are here. Now I know where you've been. We've missed you. So between my Tina connections, my Muncie connections, and Aunt Irma as well, and Stanley, I know probably half of the people here, and it's a pleasure to be here. Like and Mazel Tov on the Siyum, of course, the Siyum Mishnayos. Like Dr. Kranzler mentioned, my time is a little limited, so I thought of, instead of talking about the Torah and the Super Bowl, I go to Plan B and talk about great Jewish athletes. About 4 or 5 minutes. And I'd be able to be out. Even though we know that, like I always tell my children, I would have played professional baseball when I was of age, except for one thing, and every Jew feels this, Shabbos. We can never question a talent. It's always a question of Shabbos being the obstacle to Jews' involvement in professional sports. Obviously, we are much better than we think we are because we've never actually competed. But nonetheless, I think we have a different mentality or mindset of Jews in sports. And that's what I wanted to speak about today in the broader context of the Super Bowl, a great secular holiday, which is upon us this afternoon. Johnny Halpert, who for many, many years was the basketball coach at Yeshiva University, was once interviewed by one of the local New York papers, and he said, he was asked, how does it feel to be the coach of a team where no one's ever going to play professional basketball? And he said, it's true, we're not the athletes, but we are the ones who stitch their knees and negotiate their contracts. Which is true, we're the doctors, we're the lawyers. And just as a really broad overview, there are two teams in the Super Bowl this afternoon. Both are owned by Jews. Kraft in New England and Lurie in Philadelphia. And they're playing in Minnesota in the stadium of the Vikings, which is also, who are also owned by a Jew, the Will family. So in fact, beyond stitching their knees and negotiating the contracts, we disproportionately own their teams as well. Notwithstanding that we're not athletes necessarily, we all are to some extent, but you know, not on that caliber. Jews have always had a fascination with sports. I mean, football is part of my life. I have a football experience every Shabbos morning. When I see my wife look at her watch, I know that's the two-minute warning, and I got to finish. So I want to understand, how does the Torah view sports? What does Halacha say about it? Did Jews in ancient or medieval times play sports, watch sports, compete? It's appropriate because this is Siyum Mishnayos to start with the Mishnah in Sukkah in the fourth parak. And the Mishnah says that on Hoshana Rabbah, after the formal use of the Dalet Min and the Lulav and Esrog was finished, Miyad Tinoko Shomten Es Lulvehen V'Ochen Esrogeyen. It seems that it would sound like right away they took the Lulav and Esrog from the children, but Rashi says no. Miyad doesn't mean right away. Miyad means from. They took it. Meaning the children had taken the lulav and the esrog, and they were playing with it. What does a lulav and esrog look like? It's a bat and a ball. And they were playing with it, and the adults would grab it back. And Tosfos happens to mention here that when they took it, it's not a din, it's not a breach of theft or darkei shalom, because it was all in fun. And because it belonged to the children who were not of age, it was not huktzah l'mitzvah. And then Tosfos continues and says something very interesting, that this waiver of property rights existed in another context as well. V'yeshalilmon mikan, Tosfos writes, it's in Sukkah daf memhei amud beis, mi'osom bachurim sherochavim besusim likras choson v'nilchamim zem zeh. He said, from here we see a proof that the practice that existed in medieval times at a wedding, where the friends of the chassan would begin jousting with each other. They would mount horses and take their lances, and if they would tear the clothes of their friend or even harm the other person or the horse, God forbid, shehem peturin, they're exempt. The way they brought joy to the chassan and kal at a wedding was to have a competition. In medieval times, jousting was popular. So in fact, that's what they did. It's a little more interesting than what we do at a wedding. You know, the yeshiva shuffle. We walk around very slowly in a circle. Here they're jousting. And if someone was hurt, as long as it wasn't intentional, they're not liable, because it's all for fun and therefore unintentional. And this approach was atypical, even if it's not, it's typical rather, even if it's not so obvious. Usually Jews are liable for damages that are caused, even accidentally. Here it's different, and the Shulchan Aruch mentions that Jews who are wrestling with each other, and they're not angry, it's not like the Rambam says, derech nitzayon, there's no acrimony. They're wrestling in competition. And one throws another to the ground and hurts him, even, God forbid, takes out an eye, potur, he's exempt. And this is based on the Rush, because the Rush says that they both agreed to wrestle with each other. And everyone knows, davar yadua, when two people are wrestling, the main thing is to put the floor the other person and to hold him down. It's not done out of anger, it's done out of competition, and therefore im yazikenu, if one harms the other, adaita dahochi nisavku yachad, they were engaged in wrestling on that basis, each knew the risks. And you see, in fact, as a general rule, even in the later response of the more recent ones, the last 50-60 years, yeah, different of the poskim of the decisors permit wrestling and boxing and other sport, even football, other sports that might seem to be violent. One would be exempt from harming another in the conduct of that sport because, in fact, people agreed to it. Same thing if two people are racing and one knocks over the other as well. See, even if ordinarily we're liable for the torts we commit against another, when it comes to competition, not. If anyone wants to reinstitute jousting at weddings, I'm all for it. It's probably less dangerous than the decibel level of the bands, less harmful. Now, moreover, the rabbis have been railing against playing ball since the time of the Gemara. It happens in every generation, and every wherever it is. I remember growing up in the Bronx and in Muncie, it was the same thing. It goes back to the Gemara. The Yerushalmi records that the town of Tur Shimon, which is not far from Yerushalayim, they were a major supplier of delicacies for Shabbos, Yerushalayim and elsewhere, meaning they had zchuyot, they had tremendous merit, and yet they were destroyed, the town. And Yerushalmi says one reason they were destroyed, shehayu misachakim bekadur, they played ball on Shabbos. Based on this, the Mechaber says in Siman Shin Ches, asur l'schok b'Shabbos v'yomto bekadur, you're not allowed to play ball on Shabbos. The Ramah says there are those who permit it, and we tend to be lenient as well. So the issue is not just an Erev, and it's a long discussion in its own right, not for now. And generally for children, we're not makpid, but for teens, for adults, of course. If this is your Shabbos, that's a big problem. A few years ago, I gave a shiur in shul about playing golf on Shabbos. All right? And what the halachic, I don't want to say problems. If a person wants to play golf on Shabbos, that's the problem. But the halachic issues that raise potential violations that exist. I always tell the teens, though, that if they want to play ball on Shabbos and then again on Sunday, so what's the difference between Shabbos and Sunday? It's the same day, and that can't be. Shabbos has to be different. So Mechaber is stringent. He holds the ball's even muktzah. Rama's lenient. He said the ball, no, it's made for that purpose. And if there's an Erev and a hard surface, etc., Erech HaShulchan was even more lenient. He said maybe even for adults. Dekevan dechaviv alav lefidato hashvala, because they might be on a low level and they enjoy it. Eich nimna mimenu. How do we prevent people from having this enjoyment on Shabbos? I don't want to baskin in any sense, but my only point here is to illustrate that this issue goes back 2,000 years, that Jews and rabbis are discussing the propriety of playing ball on Shabbos. I mentioned wrestling and boxing, and hunting also came up, hunting for sport. And it's obviously not a Jewish practice. It's really what typified Esav, Yaakov's brother. But hunting for a living, the nobody would permit it, because it's a way to make a living as well. You're allowed to entertain a certain level of risk in order to engage in a profession. And based on this, Reb Moshe Feinstein, in one of his Truvos, said that he was asked, "Im muta lehisparnes mi mischak zirka sakadrim shenekro ball belaz." Can a person make a living playing ball, professional sports? And Reb Moshe said, "Oh, that's a dream of a Jew, all right? I would like to know if the guy who asked the question had any talent, or he wants his name there as, you know, the potential athlete." So Reb Moshe said, "No, it's mutter, because you can accept a risk, a certain level of risk in any profession, and therefore it's allowed." Everyone agrees that sports as exercise is desirable, it's important. It's too often neglected. We have to guard our souls, our lives, our health. And that's not just good advice. That's really a Torah obligation as well. It's a way for people to let off steam in addition to becoming healthy. Remember years ago, I saw a story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who, we remember him from Muncie. The yeshiva was on Saddle River Road. And he was once in his office and looking out the window, and the kids were playing in the yard. And one of the rebbeim said to Rabbi Yaakov, that look at the Bittul Torah, you know, they're running around playing ball. And Rabbi Yaakov said to him, "Let them be. They robbed me of my childhood." Because he was such a genius. He was sent to yeshiva 9, 10 years old. "They took my childhood away from me. They're children. Let them have fun." And you see that Rabbi Yaakov's a genius, and he had a very great sensitivity to human nature as well. Children need it. On some level, adults need it as well. Just be involved in a physical activity. Viewing sports, which they tell me, I think 130, 140 million people are going to watch the game later this afternoon. If I speak long enough, I'll miss my flight, but no one here will get to watch it. Sports is a dominant institution in American life, and it really is like a secular religion. If you think about it, the Super Bowl is like Pesach, and the night of the Super Bowl, a Havdil. It's like the Seder. Families get together, there are rituals that they have, they order out. I mean, even in, I saw in Teaneck, almost every eatery in Teaneck been advertising the last 2 weeks Super Bowl menus, all right? Once that finishes, they have the Purim Suda menu and then the Pesach menu. So it means that it's all the same. It's all, this is one, there's another, and the Pesach comes, that's for us. The World Series, I wrote about this years ago, the World Series really is like the Yom Noram. It stretches for a longer time. It always coincides with the Yom Noram. An article a number of years ago, how baseball, the rhythms of baseball are really much more attuned to Jewish life, because the season starts around Nisan, Chodesh Aviv, time of promise, every team is happy, expectant, and excited, and then you go through it, and then not everyone, but at the end of the day, the time for tshuva, all right? So the season ends, so the end of Elul, beginning of Tishrei. Some teams have to repent what they did, like the Mets. Other teams are moving forward. but it really does parallel or coincide with Jewish life. And of course, as a secular religion, sports, as we know, has its share of saints and sinners. It has its daily and weekly rituals. It has its miracles and legends. It has its shrines and places of pilgrimage. And you see, in a secular society, I don't say this facetiously, it does take the place of religion. There's a staggering amount of time and energy, emotional and intellectual, that people invest in sports. There's sports radio, and I remember when it started 30 years ago. Every day, 24 hours, who's up, who's down, how do you do that, how do you say that, how the coach do this, why do you do this? Most people never involved in it. Football especially, because there's so few games vis-a-vis the other sports, it starts with 3 days of hachana before, right during the season, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and then three days of chazara afterwards, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And of course the Super Bowl, which is like the Seder, it has 10 days of hachana before, preparation, discussing what they should do, how they should do it, and then afterwards, and going for at least a week, maybe even a month, depending on what happens. It's a little much. After all, sports is just meant to be a distraction from what really is essential and important in our lives. Today, for so many people, it's in essence. They devote their lives to it. They devote every waking moment to it. They're people whose mood swings based on how their teams are doing. The people who go to every single game, season's tickets, that's a little too much for me. If it becomes a focal point of people's lives, then something is off and we need to recalibrate. Of course, we should recognize there is a benefit to general society with the plethora of sports in America. It keeps people off the streets, it's true. It relieves the tedium and the stress through vicarious thrills that people have in identification with the teams. People become part of a larger social dynamic that transcends ethnic and religious and even racial barriers. And that's a good thing. You know, sports was one place in society until recently there was seamless racial integration. Teams are every nationality, every ethnic group on every team. Players played together, fans bonded together, until this year's protests in the NFL ticked off a lot of people, and for good reason, including me, because if it's meant to be a distraction, then the last thing you want is to have to be reminded about reality, especially the grievances that multimillionaires have about the society mistreating them. Couldn't handle that. And sports today is part of the celebrity culture obsession, which I mentioned a few weeks ago in Shul. If Marx were alive today, he would call that the opiate of the masses. The celebrity cultural obsession that we have. So I cringe at the excessive publicity given to entertainers, athletes, and the credence to their personal views on matters of import, and the idea that they should really be any type of role models for the youth, Rahmana Litzlan. And Midos, very often lacking. Look, I, and maybe many of you as well, was raised on the Knicks of the early 1970s. Remember them? The Knicks of Reed and Frazier and Bradley and DeBuscher. Teamwork, passing, no showboating, no fist bumping after every shot, no trash talking, no finger pointing, humility. I remember Walt Frazier many years ago, and he said that in his whole career, he never got a technical foul. Never. Why? He said, it's $50. Why should he pay $50 out of his pocket? Have a little self-control. You won't lose the money. It doesn't exist anymore. The best midos I've always found since I was a child, hockey players, it's always about the team. They never use the word I even, but too many athletes today are arrogant, too wealthy, they're not fully adjusted, and they present problems for children. No, what about watching sports? So my Rebbe, Rabbi Chait, always used to say that watching sports is determining the relative perfection of absolutely meaningless acts. Meaning, which team or which person is better at doing something that is completely useless in the real world, and yet people are fixated on it. So the primary objection has always been, obviously, that it's Bittul Torah. Asher Shashel Olach Matzas V'Shoyim. It has the pasuk end. Moshev Leitzim Lo Yashav. It's Moshev Leitzim. It's a session of scoffers. There's so many more important things that can and should be done with our time. Life is short. Daf Yomi now is yesterday, especially. The whole daf dealt with going to theaters and circuses and stadia for various activities. So these public spectacles always had a bad reputation for Jews, going back to the Romans and their theaters and circuses, but people were killed there, and other idolatrous acts or debauched acts took place there. So it's not quite the same today as it was then. And yet we do believe that everyone needs a break. Even the Rambam writes in the Shmoneh Prakim, and tell me if it's true, he said it's difficult for the average person to learn Torah more than 9 hours a day. Is that true? I think it's true. So we are allowed to divert our minds, to really rest and rejuvenate our minds in appropriate ways. Already in the 15th century, the Mahari Brunner, Rabbi Yisrael Brunner in Germany, was asked, is it permissible to go out and watch Simchas Ha'arelim, Kishemamrim Umeritzim Suseyem, Kol HaKodem Suso Yarviatzov? Is it permissible to go out and watch horse races, where people bet on the winner of the horse? And he said, it's mutter, it's permissible, if a Jew wants to go out and see and learn about racing, which horses are faster, in case they have to one day get a horse to run away from the non-Jews. See, you'll get to know which horse is faster. Just to go out and watch, or you want to buy a horse to invest, it's also true. But he said if it's for jousting and other violent acts, then it's not appropriate. But in more modern times, he's perceived as Moshev Leitzim, but also temporary escape. Ramosha Feinstein wrote that attendance doesn't violate Darkei Amori or Chukos Hakum, but Mal's Bittul Torah involves frivolity. But Rav Kook writes in Ein Hayah, in the first parak of Brachos, he says, not everything that's not sitting over Gemara is necessarily construed as Bittul Torah. Person goes to work, it's not Bittul Torah. Person wants to free his or her mind, it's also not Bittul Torah. So it shouldn't be an obsession, but on the other hand, it's usually a pleasant diversion. And as we see, everything in moderation, and if you go to any stadium in America, now it's very common to go. You can't go without seeing religious Jews there. And almost all of them, with a significant Jewish population, have kosher food stands as well. And Mechaber notes that even on Shabbos, that if young people like to entertain themselves by jumping and running, mutar v'chein liros kol dava shemis angimbo. So too, it's permissible to watch things that you enjoy. If you could do it, then you could certainly watch people do it as well. You know, Shabbos is not good to have races, but, you know, young people are young people. So I don't think I've been to any sporting event in years where I didn't see Jews with yarmulkes there. So many places, you just go on the internet and you know exactly when Mincha is or Meiriv is, either after the fifth inning, at seventh inning stretch, Yankee Stadium, Citi Field. It's advertised. Everyone knows where to find it. I remember Camden Yards, I was there a few years ago, in Baltimore, and the Orioles actually gave a room, an official room, for Jews to daven Mincha Meir. Right, it's a storeroom, but nonetheless, it's not in public like a Yankee Stadium. It's a room, and they keep Sidurim there, and every Jew knows to go there and to daven. So Jews do attend, but in moderation it's all right. And I'll end with this very famous story. We were talking before about Beth Jacob in Atlanta, who was found by Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, shall live and be well. I met him a few years ago in Israel, but he wrote that this is a very famous story. The World Series, 1995, featured the Braves against the Indians, Atlanta versus Cleveland. And one of his congregants honored him with a ticket, I think it was to the fifth or sixth game. So he went, he's sitting third baseline in foul territory, between third base, near left field. Eighth inning, foul ball. Now keep in mind, he's a big yarmulke on his head, nice white beard, the thing's in his, I guess, 60s in the time, nice white beard. He played ball as a youth. Instinct takes over, and he lunges for the ball, catches it in his hand on national television. All right? People all around congratulate him. It's right after Simchas Torah, I think. People congratulate him. Rabbi, Rabbi. And he says, all right, as long as no one knows about it, then he's all right. Next morning, and shul, he walks in, and the gabbai says to him, great catch. All right? His daughter calls from Yerushalayim that day and says, Abba, is it true you caught a ball at the World Series? These are people in Israel, daughters in Har Nof, they don't have television. And yet they knew somehow Rabbi Feldman had caught a ball. He goes back to Israel. He's walking in Har Nof on the street. Strangers stop him. Yeshikayach! And he ends, as he tells the tale, he ends the story by saying, in the future, he'll just drop the ball to spare himself the humiliation. So contrary to what people might think, sports has existed in one form or another in Jewish life. Since ancient times, Jews have always played or watched. It's part of life, but it really is a minor part of life. And as long as we keep it in perspective and realize that the real calling of Jews is Torah and mitzvahs, such as we're celebrating here tonight, that we can take from it what we need and no more, and use it to bring glory to God and His Torah, Lahagdil Torah ulahadira. I thank you all very much for your kind attention. Thank you.
Don't talk too many about the bottom on the way.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Okay. I will continue with the program in a few minutes, as soon as you finish your main dish.
Okay, so I'll hear from you. Oh, you come up this week?
Where's the wedding?
When's the Shabbos?
Sunday's going to be in Muncie. Very much.
Okay, very good. Okay, I'll see you Shabbos. Looking forward.
Rabbi, I'll see you again.
Next time a little more relaxed.
Oh, I'll be this one. All right.
Thank you, host.